infected with disinfectant. Overbrook sure does smell. The already unpleasant odor of working hospital gone sour, with more than a touch of decay. There were parts of the old TB hospital, Essex Mountain Sanatorium, that still reeked of medical procedures and biohazard grunge decades after abandonment, when my little young curious self, to see what those huge water towers were all about, stumbled on the scariest abandoned building possible, or so I thought, until we started venturing inside Overbrook. The TB hospital wasn't about confinement or bondage, like the loony bin. In the bin, they would tie folks up, strap people down, hose them off with high-pressure ice baths, jolt them with electricity, and overdose with insulin. Screams rang out daily inside Overbrook. Up at the old TB hospital, there was far less screaming. Loud sounds are tough when you can't breathe. The doctors and nurses weren't adversarial, although sometimes would just collapse your lung for a bit to give it a little rest. A perfectly reasonable treatment for consumption at the time, before antibiotics, when they had to treat the symptoms and were unable to administer a cure. But in general, the TB patients housed in the Essex Mountain Sanatorium had control of their minds. Not so much with Overbrook, since the essential prerequisite for admittance to the asylum is a broken intellect, a cracked psyche, delusions, dementia, perversions, demonic possession, suicidal and homicidal behavior. Those are the people who inhabited the bin. And there was a painting in Overbrook, composed directly on the wall, in the green day room of the female ward, directly over the fireplace. Pictured was a family on the edge of the woods, sitting by a campfire, father, mother, daughter, having a family moment. Standing behind them, unseen by the unsuspecting family, a young man waits patiently, concealed in bushes, on the edge of the forest, hands in pockets, creepily watching the family. By far, the weirdest and freakiest piece of art to be found in the old asylum. Far surpassing any and all graffiti, in eerie moodiness. Obviously, executed by a patient who once resided at the hospital. Outsider art of the most disturbing variety. I spent many occasions standing in front of this masterpiece, trying to figure out just what was going on in the deranged mind of the young man, partially concealed in the woods. Was he a hands-in-pocket pervert with strange designs on young family daughter? Perhaps he was part of the family, but is being punished and ostracized, or at least feels so. Maybe he is just a harmless voyeur like me, peeping into the lives of the campers the same way I'm poking around the old insane asylum, tripping out on mental patient art, trying to mine some meaning from the abandoned madhouse. They say that early exposure to dangerous situations can be bad for children, and it was true for me, but in a weird way. I fell in love with everything that scared me as a kid, addicted to the abandoned institutions of Second Mountain, when neurons fired pathways in my young brain at the first sight of EMS, stimulating fear and pleasure sensors simultaneously. That's why I'm still chasing that thrill, successfully, I might add. Walking these tunnels or strolling the psych wards at night never loses its potency. It still scares the hell out of me, even as an adult. Truthfully, it scares me even more now. I'm not as indestructible as I once was, when I had two broken arms, pins sticking out of my skin, and carbon rod holding bones together with external fixator, but still hung out on the roof of the sanatorium, drinking beer, getting drunk, which I no longer do either, for the same reasons of being too old to handle it. Somewhere along the way, the hangovers got too intense, and I lost my immortality. But when we were really young, just starting to dare each other further and further into the cyclopean wards of Essex Mountain Sanatorium, we found an orange jumpsuit from an escaped prisoner who had run from the Essex County Penitentiary just over the rise of Second Mountain, where our great-grandparents' generation put all their undesirables, prisoners, consumptives, mental cases, back when it was all woods, trees and trees as far as the eye could see, before it was farms and plantations with free labor from jail and mental hospital, before it was the suburbia of present day, where we fight for land scraps to house the masses. There are McMansions and condos on the hilltop now, with more on the way. The physical history of the mountain is being erased, an open space filled in. Where will the deer live? Is there room in your garbage cans for Overbrook fox and coyote? I recently heard the giraffe and elephant are in danger of becoming extinct, so why not rip down every last tree as well? Of course Overbrook is going to be demolished. What possible use could it be to anyone? But for the sake of our souls, couldn't we plant some trees on the footprint of the old asylum? Couldn't we keep our beloved paths through the woods that to me were 1,000,000,000 times more useful and beautiful than your hideous community center built on the bones of an enchanted forest that had resisted development for millennia but have now fallen along with Micah and the backmail wards? Inevitable? Yes, but that doesn't make it right. Maybe the chaos of the teetering hospital wasn't right either. Maybe the graffito red bricks were an eyesore to residents, and the caving roof and floors were probably a real hazard for trespassing delinquents, who might fall and later file suit. Yes, it was unsafe. Even those of us who loved Overbrook will admit that much. Maybe it was a waste of space, a burden to the county, a blight on the community. Maybe it was wrong for the town and wrong for the taxpayer, but it was right for me. Born at the exact perfect time to grow up in both abandoned institutions on the hilltop, EMS and Overbrook, with a map of the tunnels burned in my mind, images of hallways and mental wards appearing every night in my dreams.